Second and eight. Two tight ends to the right. Teddy goes play action on a deep drop. He'll fade it out to the left, and it's caught by Kyle Rudolph. 25, 20, 15, 10. Touchdown! A 47-yard touchdown from Bridgewater to Kyle Rudolph. And the Vikings grab the lead. Second and eight from the Green Bay 22. Rodgers shotgun with a 9-6 lead. He's claustrophobic. He's flustered. And he is sacked by Everson Griffin. The Vikings have hit Aaron Rodgers and sacked him twice today. Everson has 6.5 sacks this year. Here's Tim Mastey's first punt. Marcus Sherrill's first return. Snap from Brett Gutekunst. It's blocked! Vikings block the punt. Bounces at the 35-40. Green Bay roll after the block. And it goes out of bounds at the 41-yard line. First and 10, Packers blitz. Teddy back to pass, fires right. And it is caught by Kyle Rudolph at the 15-yard line on Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. And Kyle made a very nice catch. And it's first and 10, Vikings from the Green Bay 13. That's a 33-yard hit. Teddy Bridgewater goes under center, offset eye right, line in front of Adrian Peterson. Mike Wallace, the receiver, right hand off Adrian. Cuts to the left of the five, shakes a Clay Matthews tackle, gets into the end zone. Touchdown, Vikings! 6-yard touchdown run by Adrian Peterson.
Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, here in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park with producer Nate Vaughn. And we want to apologize right off the top. We're a little bit late in getting the Wobcast up here earlier in the week, but we were chasing the TCF Bank Stadium squirrel all around the field and the building. He's still on the loose. We're working with local authorities to locate him and capture him. So we apologize for being a little bit late getting the Wobcast up. Okay. The Vikings drop one to the Green Bay Packers. You heard some of the highlights from the game. Unfortunately, the mistakes that were made were too much for the highlights to overcome, and the Vikings drop a decision to the Green Bay Packers 30-13, which puts the Vikings and Packers on the same level in terms of overall record at 7-3, but the nod in the division because of the head-to-head tiebreaker goes to the Green Bay Packers. So you have the division-leading Green Bay Packers playing at Chicago. The Vikings are in second place in the NFC North, in good position in the wild card race, and they're going to play the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. Okay, let's take a listen to what the locker room sounded like after the game on Sunday. We'll go, unfortunately, to a losing locker room for the Vikings, the first time they've dealt with a loss in 5 weeks. Here's what it sounded like.
Credit should go to Green Bay. I think they played better than we did tonight. I think we've made too many mistakes, penalties, especially in the first half, and came back to bite us a little bit. So we'll get back to work and see if we can fight again. You know, you go back to San Francisco, that was out of character. We got beat today, but there was some good things in there too. Sometimes you have to give the other team credit as well. We still got 6 more games to go. Let's play them out.
Tough loss today. Thinking on the positive side, if you look back at training camp, who would have thought we'd be sitting here 7-3 right now after 10 games. But we know that a game like this won't be good enough to continue to compete in this division, compete with a team like Green Bay. Had too many negative plays today, starting driving first and 20. We have to cut down on some of those things. We have 6 more opportunities, and we have to make the best of those. Like I said, the unique thing is we control our own destiny. We have a chance to face Green Bay again January 3rd. And right now, we just have to, learn from today. Like you said, it was an opportunity that we missed out on. But I'm still proud of those guys in that locker room. Those guys, continue to compete, for 4 quarters. And the thing about these guys, we stay together. And that's Coach Zimmer's message. As far as to just continue to stay together and believe in ourselves, and I think we have a great group of guys, so we're going to continue to do that, and we'll see you next week.
The first 9 games, you're the least penalized team in the league. Do you have any kind of idea why today was the day that it just didn't come up?
No, I wish I did, but I don't know. I don't know, but besides the penalties offensively, we just got to be better, running the ball, getting a push up. Of field, protecting Teddy, It was just kind of out of sync today for whatever reason. I think we'll be able to look at this tape, regroup, you know, see the things that we definitely need to improve on because we have a long stretch ahead of us and, you know, come back and get ready for Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think we've probably been in a tough situation like this since 2012. You know, probably under this regime, this is maybe the first time. So it's a young football team. We'll learn from it. You know, we'll take the stuff that that happened today and just understand that, you know, just like, you know, really the mantra is going to be accurate to, you know, we got to worry about the things that we do, you know, and just focus on our assignments. And you know, and again, credit them for making the plays. I mean, they made some great catches and throws, and defensively they played well. So they just played better than us today. You know, I don't think it's one of those things, situations where the spot's too big or the spotlight's too bright. I think it's a situation where they played some pretty good football today and weren't able to get the, you know, top.
So there you hear from Coach Zimmer and a couple of Vikings players after the game, including veteran linebacker Chad Greenway, who has been through a border battle or two. He's been on the winning end and the losing end. He's played in a lot of big games in his Vikings career, but many of his current teammates have not played in big games, and so Chad is getting to the point that we can hopefully, you don't want to lose games, but when you do, you want to do your best to chalk it up to a learning experience, take some lessons away, apply them going forward, and the Vikings are going to see the Green Bay Packers at least one more time this season, one more time in the regular season. And if the Vikings can win enough games here down the stretch, you never know if you're going to see the green and gold in the postseason. The Vikings and Packers played three times in a season recently in 2012 when both teams made the playoffs. They met in the wild card round. Okay, let's recap the Vikings' loss to the Green Bay Packers. Let's start with some of the good. Kyle Rudolph, a career day for tight end Kyle Rudolph, was targeted nine times, had six catches, but had a career high in receiving yards with 106 and a career long touchdown reception, a 47-yarder. But he also had a 33-yard catch later in the game that helped lead to an Adrian Peterson touchdown. A great job by Kyle Rudolph, who saw a lot of man coverage, got the best of his man most times and had a career day. The man delivering him the ball was Teddy Bridgewater, and does that kid have some guts? The second-year starter playing like a veteran. No, the numbers are not gaudy, and the Vikings did lose the game. But if you look closely at that performance on offense, Teddy Bridgewater played well. He did a good job of taking care of the ball, completing a high percentage of his passes. Despite being under siege and under duress for most of the game, Teddy hung in there, had some key scrambles to try and keep the Vikings in the game. So you cannot be pleased with the outcome because the Vikings lost, but there were some individual components that looked good in that loss. Kyle Rudolph was definitely one. So was Teddy Bridgewater. And at the end of the day, you walk out of the stadium or you're turning your TV off or the radio off, and what did you feel? You felt like we beat ourselves. And we put that under the good category because, with all due respect to the Green Bay Packers, who played better than the Vikings and put it on the Vikings in their own stadium, you want to give them credit because they won the game and they made enough plays to win the game, but you also know that you shot yourself in the foot and that you think you got a puncher's chance going to Lambeau Field in Week 17 to take on that team once again. So we'll put that under the good category. We'll also put it under the bad category because you did shoot yourself in the foot. Too many penalties, the Vikings. Eight penalties for 110 yards. That from a team that was the least penalized team coming into this game. So some undisciplined play, which is uncharacteristic of this Vikings team. The penalties happening in all three phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. Two special teams penalties on the day. A defensive penalty that stands out as an offsides on Anthony Barr on a fourth and one. So those mistakes that were costing all three phases. Offensively, the penalties and the negative plays were especially costly early in the game. How so? Well, it put the Vikings behind the chains in the down and distance, and that took the ball out of Adrian Peterson's hands. In fact, on 39% of the Vikings snaps in the first half, there was a to-go distance of 11 yards or more. Very hard to establish the run when you're dealing with that turmoil. Some other mistakes to mention under the bad category. You don't like seeing Blair miss a PAT, a long kickoff return allowed. Jeff Locke blasts a punt into the end zone for a touchback. Pass protection problems. Adrian Peterson had a fumble, Mike Wallace had a drop, too many offsides penalties, and Aaron Rodgers got outside of the pocket and made some dynamite throws. The touchdown pass he had to James Jones on a dime on the run in the corner of the end zone. Even the best coverage wasn't going to be able to stop that. Got to keep Rodgers in the pocket. Don't let him buy time because eventually those receivers will break open. We're not going to be too hard on the Vikings, though. A lot of mistakes, and we mentioned all of them, but the Vikings went up against a very good Green Bay Packers team, a battle-tested Green Bay Packers team with a great coaching staff and a future Hall of Famer playing quarterback, not to mention a guy in Clay Matthews who is all over the field making plays. So Coach Zimmer has said the Vikings are striving to be like the Green Bay Packers. The Packers have reigned supreme in the NFC North. They still do so today, but the Vikings are right on their tail. They have to take some learning experiences from this game, apply them, and move forward. Okay, let's go to the outside, and we'll go to NFL Network, where our friends Michael Irvin, Deion Sanders, and Marshall Faulk discussed the Vikings and the Vikings and the Packers and the NFC North. They gave some credit to the Packers, but they also weren't too hard on the Vikings.
So we talked about it last week, saying this was kind of a show-me game for the Minnesota Vikings, even though the Packers were in a slide. What did the Packers show you, Mike?
Well, they stepped back up and won a game now. They won a game against a team that's in that middle rung, my sleeper team, Minnesota, for this season. So that was important to get back on the winning way, get back on their winning ways. But let's be real here. Green Bay wants to go to the Super Bowl, and they still have in the back of their minds that they lost to the top teams. So they still have some work to do. But that's a big win for them today because Minnesota, we thought Minnesota had a chance today to say, okay, no more being the little boy in this league. We're taking our spot, and they did not get it.
Minnesota's young. They're really inexperienced. What Zimmer's doing with this team is phenomenal.
They've done a great job.
We wouldn't
job.
Even expect them to be at this point. Right. What Green Bay did is what they should have done. They're supposed to claim this division and dominate this division. They're not as dominant anymore because people are shutting down their offense. Their defense came, and they played really, really well today. You got a couple of huge plays by Aaron Rodgers. He needed to make some plays because he's been missing some plays as of late. But this is what they needed to do in Minnesota. They're about 2 years away from being really serious contenders to get to the Super Bowl. Now, you're talking about playoffs. I'm talking about Super Bowl.
You're not thinking
about doing with no Super Bowl. I don't care about no playoffs. I think about winning it all. That's why when I say
it's going to be around that long.
Who?
AP.
AP, yeah. AP got two years in it.
He looks good.
AP got at least five.
You know, when I saw this game today, first of all, with Minnesota, and rarely does Norv do this. Today, Minnesota came in like they were superior to Green Bay and was saying, hey, we're going to dictate. We're going to run Adrian Peterson, although you know we're going to run Adrian Peterson. And when they stopped the run and they got to Teddy, Teddy was throwing the ball down the field, but then the rush started getting to him. I felt like Norv should have came out throwing the ball when they was expecting AP to run the ball and took advantage of some of the man-to-man early.
Okay, let's clean up a few loose ends from this Vikings-Packers game before we go and take a look around the NFC North and talk about a few other things. The Vikings, even with the loss, are still 7-3 and in good position in the NFC. Now, what happens a lot in the NFL is you become a prisoner of the moment. You let the most recent events define your body of work, but you have to try and avoid that. The Vikings did lose and lost in sort of an ugly way, making a lot of mistakes, but that should not define the Vikings' entire 2015 season. This is a team that has won 7 of its first 10 games and remains in good position in the NFC and, quite frankly, in the NFC North. Right now, they are the 5th seed in the NFC, 2 clear of the 7th seed. They're 1 game clear of the 6th seed, and that is the Atlanta Falcons. They play the Falcons this Sunday, but they are 2 games clear from losing wild card position. So you want to keep one eye on the division race and the Packers and keep the other on some of those wild card candidates in the NFC. Same record as Green Bay, and the Vikings play Green Bay once more. So Green Bay does have the upper hand in the NFC North. Same record, but Green Bay gets the upper hand because of the head-to-head tiebreaker. But a date with the Packers is looming, January 3rd, 2016, week 17 is that game. Try not to look too far down the road, though. We got to focus on the Atlanta Falcons. So you put this game away. You put the loss away. Do not let one game define your entire team or your entire season. Keep your head down and take care of business in the ATL on Sunday. Okay, let's take a glance around the NFC North. To do that, we bring in Nate Vaughn to give us a little bit of a recap of what went on.
Well, half of the NFC North in Minneapolis this past weekend. First, we'll talk about the Lions. They took down the Raiders in Detroit. So the Raiders, a hot team a few weeks ago, now suffering 2 losses to NFC North teams and maybe cooling down a little bit.
That's what the NFC North will do to you. We'll cool you down, especially this time of year.
That's true. That's true. Very chilly out there the other night.
Indeed.
The Lions now won 2 consecutive games for the first time this year. So
yeah, something to hang your hat on there. Remember, we talked about after we beat the Lions and it looked like the season was going the wrong way. They were making a bunch of coaching staff and front office changes. It's time to look and see what are you made of? Who's going to show up and prove that they can be part of the team in 2016 and beyond? It looks like they're doing that with two straight wins. A lot of people must be showing up for them.
The Lions now at 3-7. They'll host the Eagles at 11:30 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, that's our first game of the day on Thanksgiving
Day.
Yeah,
right as you're probably just starting to eat. So well, you have the TV on while you're eating your turkey.
We do lunch in my side of the family, and we eat at halftime of the first game. So we'll serve up the food at halftime of Eagles and Lions, and then as we're watching the second half of that game, we'll be feasting on Thanksgiving Day. Football a great part of the Thanksgiving Day tradition.
On Thanksgiving night, you'll have the Bears at 4-6 at the Packers at 7-3. The Broncos held off those Bears in Chicago for a 17-15 win. It came down to the wire, led by Brock Osweiler and ex-Broncos head coach John Fox.
A big win for the Broncos, who were playing, of course, as you said, without Peyton Manning. And I saw earlier today that Brock Osweiler was named the starting quarterback for next weekend when the Broncos go up against the New England Patriots on Sunday Night Football. So for our Thanksgiving...
Sort of a big game.
I'd say that's a fairly big game.
Yeah.
Our Thanksgiving week is full of great football. I mean, you mentioned Bears-Packers on Thursday night, and then Sunday night, to cap off the Sunday action of football, you get Patriots-Broncos, which is going to be a great game with that great Broncos defense going against Tom Brady and company.
So the Bears, even though having lost, still looking like a pretty solid team, and still nothing we can take lightly when we face them in a couple weeks.
Certainly not. But so obviously in a couple of weeks, we're going to be rooting for us to beat the Bears. But this week, we get to root for the Bears. We want them to take down the Packers.
True. The Packers having defeated us now at 7-3 in our game. You saw kind of the return of Eddie Lacy and Aaron Rodgers, although his stats, if you just look at completion percentage and things like that, not his best game, but when he needed to play well, that's what he did.
Yeah, he got outside the pocket, made some plays. Both of his touchdown passes came on third downs. But let's look at his box score. I asked you this earlier. Now you've had time to think about it. If I would have told you right before kickoff of our game against Green Bay on Sunday that Aaron Rodgers would go 16 of 34 for 212 yards and two touchdowns, I think you probably would have taken that.
Probably. The only thing I would worry about, obviously, is the two touchdowns. But even that against Aaron Rodgers, you're going to take that most of the time.
Yeah, and you know there are no moral victories here. Green Bay played the better game and won the game. But Teddy had a better passer rating than Aaron Rodgers, which is, I don't know what you can really take from that. But I guess what it says is that even in the loss, I think you saw Teddy Bridgewater play well. And so that's good. That's something that you can take away from the game. Of course, the emergence of Kyle Rudolph in the game was fun to see. They sent Kyle on more vertical routes than we're used to seeing. So that was good. He beat man coverage and did a good job there. Stephon Diggs also looked good. But Teddy Bridgewater played a nice game. He was under pressure a bunch, sacked six times, but completed 25 of 37 passes for 296 yards with no interceptions. And he had the touchdown to Kyle Rudolph for a passer rating of 100.7. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers right now, king of the castle in the NFC North.
All right, so to recap, Eagles at Lions on Thanksgiving Day, Bears at Packers Thanksgiving night, and Vikings traveling down to Atlanta to take on the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday.
Kind of weird, Nate. On Thursday, we're cheering for two NFC North teams, right?
Yeah, I guess we probably are.
Well,
one of the games, we have to choose one. It's one or the other.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Bears and Packers.
We're cheering for the Bears, even though the Bears are 4-6. If you're not careful, they're going to sneak up on you and get in the wild card chase, but we're chasing the Packers. I mean, let's try and win the division, right? I mean, so if we want that to happen, we need the Packers to drop some games. Who better for Green Bay to drop a game to than division rival Chicago on Thanksgiving night when they're retiring Brett Favre's jersey, right? I mean, let's see that. But I think we're also cheering for the Lions this week to beat the Eagles. Because the Eagles are sitting there at 4-6. They're going to try and get in the wild card chase too. So I think Coach Zimmer would hate this conversation because he'd be like, forget all the other teams. Let's just worry about what the Vikings have to do. So, there's that too. But when it comes to scoreboard watching, I think you're cheering for the Lions and the Bears this week, and that's kind of weird.
Another scoreboard I was keeping an eye on over the weekend was your over-unders.
And it was ugly.
Well, for you it was, yeah, a little bit. It took a little bit of a beating. You entered the week over 500 at 14 and 13. But we took a look at three different over-unders for the Vikings-Packers game, the first of which, Adrian Peterson, total yards. We knew it's usually a big game for Adrian against the Packers regardless. We knew it was going to have to be a big game from him again if the Vikings had much of a shot in this game. So we put the over-under at 137 total yards.
Yeah.
And you took the over, and that proved to not be the case in this matchup.
I was bullish on Adrian this week. You know, he was averaging 116 rushing yards per game against the Packers. He was on a roll coming off a 200-yard game, and I thought maybe Teddy would throw a pass or two to him and he'd get 20 or 25 receiving yards. I thought he'd get over this number. He wasn't even close. And unfortunately, the ball was taken from Adrian's hands by the play calling in the first half because of the stat I mentioned earlier where we were behind the chains and the down and distance for most of the first half on 40% of our snaps. So Norv was kind of forced into throwing the ball, and then the ball was literally dislodged from Adrian's hand in the second half, a costly fumble early in the fourth quarter as the Vikings were driving to try and cut the deficit from 14 to either 11 or 7. You know, not a great day for Adrian Peterson in terms of rushing the football, and expecting a bounce-back performance from him and the running game this weekend, although it won't be easy because in sneaky fashion, Nate, the Falcons have the NFL's number one rushing defense. So a tall task for Adrian and the boys this weekend.
Interesting. Atlanta, not the first team you would think of if you think of top rushing defenses in the league.
Definitely not. And so I guess we'll give them a ton of credit for that. Maybe for the late week edition of the Wobcast, we'll break it down and figure out why they're so good at running the football. What I hope I find is that teams just don't try to do it very much, so the yardage numbers aren't very high. That would give us some optimism, but they might be really good at defending the run. Remember, their head coach is Dan Quinn, who came from Seattle. He was one of the architects of Seattle's defense that has gone to two straight Super Bowls. So now he's the head coach of the Falcons. So something tells me those Atlanta Falcons defenders are playing pretty well for Mr. Quinn.
The second over-under we took a look at was field goals made for either team from over 49 yards. So basically we asked, would there be a field goal made of 50 or more yards?
Yeah.
Because we put the over-under at 0.5. You took the under. Mason Crosby, the kicker for the Packers, was 5-for-5 on field goals last night. All of them from 40-plus, one of them from 52 yards. So you proved to be incorrect in your prediction there.
Much to the chagrin of Mason Crosby fantasy owners, I was wrong on this one.
Right.
Good
right.
day if you own Mason Crosby on your fantasy football team.
That it was.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on. We thought we might have uncovered a little secret.
Yes, we had a sneaky stat and everything.
Yeah, basically the stat was the Vikings score when Rhett Ellison's on the field, right?
Yeah, I mean, all nine plays in Oakland, all nine scoring plays, Rhett Ellison on the field. That was a sneaky stat. We even counted up all of his snaps, came up with an average, had the over-under. I mean, the whole thing, we were buttoned up when it came to this one.
That number we set the over-under at for snaps for Rhett Ellison was 50.5, and you took the over. You thought he was going to get a lot of work in this pounded out NFC North matchup.
I did.
Unfortunately for you, he played a total of 38 snaps.
Yeah.
So about a dozen snaps under 50.5.
Yeah. You know, and again, we had to go away from the running game. I mean, I think, and I'm not criticizing the play calling, you know, and that's why I'm throwing that stat out there. I mean, the Vikings were at 2nd and 15, 2nd and 20, 1st and 20, 3rd and 15, a bunch. I mean, and you can run the ball in those instances and hope you get an explosive gain and get back ahead of schedule. But, I mean, you also are trying to unfurl this passing game and make strides in the passing game. So you want to be able to throw the ball as well. So, you know, I don't criticize the play calling for going away from Adrian in the first half. The down and distance kind of dictated it. But let's just not make those mistakes. Let's not have penalties and holding calls and false starts. Illegal hands to the face, that's setting you back because then you can remain a little more balanced in your play calling.
So a rough week for the Vikings as the number one least penalized team in the NFL, and a rough week for Mike Wobschall in over-unders as well.
Everyone feels really sorry for me too, can tell.
0-for-3 this week, falling to 14 and 16 so far in your 2015 campaign.
Okay, time to rebound, just like the Vikings. Lots more football to be played, lots more under-overs to get to.
To wrap this Wobcast up, Thanksgiving, just a few days away.
Yep.
A lot of people thinking about what they should be thankful for. A lot of things more important than football, obviously. But I want to ask you, as a Vikings fan, as a Vikings employee,
yes,
as a Minnesota Viking, what are you most thankful for, Mike Wobshaw?
Can I give you two answers?
Sure.
Three.
It's okay to be thankful for more than one thing. Yeah.
Okay. Three answers.
Okay.
All right. I am thankful for Mike Zimmer's defense. I think he's done a great job since he became head coach of getting in here, identifying what he didn't like and what he did like from what was here before he arrived, and building this thing up. And right now, the Vikings are the number two scoring defense in the NFL, and I know we're coming off of a loss in which we gave up 30 points. Well, so we all have a sour taste in our mouth, but this is a Vikings defense that is number two in the NFL when it comes to points given up per game. So I'm thankful for that. I think that's going to keep the Vikings in a lot of games down the stretch, and every game the Vikings have left, I think, is going to be a huge game on that week's NFL calendar. I mean, this one this week against the Falcons is a huge game because when you look at the playoff picture, it's the two teams who right now are in wild card position playing each other, the Vikings and the Falcons. So I think when you have a good defense, it keeps you in a lot of games. The Vikings are going to play in a lot of big games down the stretch, so I'm thankful for Mike Zimmer's defense. I'm thankful for Teddy's toughness. You know, Teddy's been sacked a lot. He's been taking a lot of hits. He's been knocked down, but he always gets back up, and he did so against the Green Bay Packers. He had to leave the game briefly with a shoulder ailment, but came back. I think the guy's tough. I think he's got a lot of guts. I think he lays it all out on the line every single Sunday, and it's fun to watch, and I'm thankful for that. And the last thing I'll say is I'm thankful for our special teams group. Coming off a not-so-great performance against the Green Bay Packers, but I'm not going to let that define their entire season. Leading up to this Green Bay game, Vikings special teams has been very good. In fact, when you consider all phases, one of the better groups in the entire NFL. So I'm thankful for that special teams group because they can help you win games too. In fact, our special teams groups have helped us win a lot of games this season. Blair Walsh has two game-winning kicks. Marcus Sherrills and Cordarrelle Patterson each have return touchdowns. And the touchback that Jeff Locke had against the Packers was unfortunate, but up to that point, Jeff Locke and the punt team have had a very good season as well. So I'm thankful for a very solid Vikings special teams group. And I guess I have one more, Nate.
Okay, what is it?
We are thankful for all the listeners of the Wobcast.
Aww.
Right? They come back every week. They send us their thoughts. They email us questions. They give us feedback. And they listen to the Wobcast twice a week. So we're thankful for everyone listening to us right now, even after a bitter Vikings loss to the Green Bay Packers. But let's put that one behind us. We have the Atlanta Falcons in front of us. And even though it's Thanksgiving, we're going to be working hard all week, and we'll come back to you later in the week on Friday with another edition of the Wobcast that will take a deeper dive previewing the Vikings and the Falcons in what is a very big game in the NFC in Week 12. But until then, and on behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host Mike Wobshaw from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park, thanking you for listening and wishing you and yours a happy Thanksgiving. So yeah!